All right, here we are, March 17th, and Michael's going to lead our discussion again this week.
All right, we're starting in verse 59, chapter 4 of Moses in the sealed book. It's on page 72 in the black book. I'm not sure the yellow version what page it's on, but starting in
My
59.
PDF has 72 also.
Perfect. You'll have to forgive me. I woke up with a little bug in my throat, so I'm not sure if coming down with something, but we'll manage. So I'll read in verse 59, and then we'll just kind of go through how I've got you on my screen from left to right.
Okay, and yeah, this 59 had several terms I was going to try to dig into a little bit better. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. And Enoch saw the promised descendant, the Messiah, ascend into heaven. And he cried unto the Lord, saying, "You will not return to the earth? For you are God, and I know you, and commanded me to ask in the name of thy only begotten, and not by myself, but by your own grace, and I would receive from you what I asked for. Therefore, I ask thee whether thou shalt not come again to the earth." And the Lord said unto Enoch, "Yea, I, the Lord, will come in the latter days, in the days of the iniquity of the people, and of the vengeance of God, to fulfill the oath which I did give unto you concerning the sons of Noah. And the day will come when the earth shall rest. But before that day, the heavens shall be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth. And there shall be great afflictions among the children of men. But my people shall I preserve, and righteousness will I send forth from heaven through my messenger. And I will take from the earth a record of these things which I revealed to men through my servant, a seer chosen in the opening of the fullness of times. And a second time will be revealed in the final part of the fullness of times, yea, another seer, who will reveal to these sealed words for the purpose of bearing testimony of the only begotten of the Father, of his resurrection from the dead, and also of the resurrection of all men, and of the coming of the only begotten of the Father among his elect in the last days."
Now, do you see my confusion here? It starts off by saying, and Enoch saw the promised descendant of the Messiah sent in heaven, and he cried unto the Lord, implying that these are not the same person, and saying, "You will not return to the earth." And then it says, "For you're God, and I know you're in the commandments, commanded me to ask in the name of the only begotten." Now we're bringing in another term. "And not by myself, and by your own grace," and I ask thee whether thou shalt not come again to the earth. And the Lord said unto Enoch, "Yea, I will come in the latter days." It doesn't talk about coming in the meridian of time. So I'm kind of confused about all these terms, which I have always kind of assumed were the same person. They seem to be applying, they're all different people. Am I misreading this?
Well, didn't he see? I thought he saw the meridian time and the ending of time. Because he says,
Yeah.
won't you come back? And then he said, yes, I'll come back. And it's important to note that it's in the day of wickedness. It's today. It's the
Right.
Savior comes down, he dissembles himself, hides himself, becomes an ordinary man among us. And then starts talking to his servant, the Davidic servant, which, if you study Isaiah, don't want to miss it. And that servant goes out and gathers up all the kings. This is happening right now. I've been commanded not to say who these people are. So it makes it a little difficult to go, "Hey, have you asked Heavenly Father, are these men on the earth? And if they're here, can you please tell me who they are?" Because all of a sudden you'll become very interested in their teachings. And I'll pass.
I think, Russell, if we And that's really good, Dewey. I never thought about that. Ask the Lord if they're here, and if they are, show me them. If we jump over to Pearl of Great
they're
Price.
Here. I promise you, they're here. Okay. I don't know how more plain I can be with my peeps. But yeah.
Very good. In Pearl of Great Price, Moses, incidentally, it's also picks up in verse 59. It's the same verse, even though we were out of sync in previous verses, they kind of sync up here. If you read it there, chapter 7, verse 59, it says, "And Enoch beheld the Son of Man ascend up unto the Father, and he called unto the Lord, saying, Wilt thou not come again upon the earth?" So if we're talking about who he's speaking to, maybe it's just kind of a difficult translation from the Portuguese, or when Mauricio was translating it from the plates. I think he's speaking to the Lord, which is the Son of Man, which is Jehovah. Will you come again to the earth? And I'll go on. It says, "Forasmuch as thou art God, and I know thee, and thou hast sworn unto me and commanded that I should ask in the name of thine only begotten." Well, now that's confusing, because is he talking to Jehovah and he's saying, "Thine only begotten? Thou hast made me and given me unto a right unto thy throne, not of myself, but through thine own grace. Wherefore I ask thee, wilt thou not come again upon the earth?" So maybe he's speaking to the Savior, but he's speaking about thine only begotten in the third person. I don't know. It is confusing.
Well, and there's divine investiture of authority where a person can speak for another God and so forth. So, yeah.
Right. I'm just reading on, and in Pearl of Great Price, Moses, it looks like the same verse as verse 60. Verse 61, and part of verse 62, even.
So we were in sync, and now we immediately get out of sync again.
Yeah, it's like they come together and then they go back. Are there any other comments about this verse? I just think it's interesting that it clarifies, or that it adds a little tidbit that's not in the Pearl of Great Price, Moses, about which shall be revealed through my servant, a seer, in the opening of the fullness of times, and then a second time will be revealed in the final part of the fullness of times, another seer. Obviously, that's referencing Joseph Smith and Mauricio Berger. But that's not. What's that?
I have a comment there that I think is a multiple fulfillment. I think Mauricio Berger is currently fulfilling that. But I do think that when the Davidic servant comes on the scene, a huge amount of records will come forth at that time. And so I don't think it's just, I could see why you would think that would be just Mauricio. But I'm suggesting to you that there are several servants that will come on the scene that could be considered in when you read this.
Sure. I think that's a very valid possibility. And the Davidic servant, you're saying, is already here and functioning, correct, Dewey? He's just not.
Well, I don't know how well, you know, he has to be hidden, I guess, because he's probably not ready yet. And if he just came out and said, "Hey," and well, you know, I've already met 8 people that claim they're the servant. So there's plenty of people out there, even in my really weird circle in the relief mine, one of them is there. So there's plenty of, and look at how many mighty and strong there are. I mean, there's like about 30 of them. I mean, we haven't put up a Steve up there yet, but I'm just saying there's a lot of, could be, want to be, called to be, but anyway, I believe that my friends, Rhonda, the Pickerings, are correct that after this eclipse, we enter the 7 years. It's the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. And just about 90% or 80% of Isaiah will all happen in the next 10 years. Probably the next, anyway. So I just, all the players are here and they're all waking up to who they are, you know, but they may not go, oh, I might be one of the 144,000. Okay. They're probably not telling very many, maybe their spouse they might mention, but all of these people are awaking to who they are and what their missions are. And if you think about Jacob again, the allegory, it says, I'll labor in the vineyard with you at that time before Russia and China burn the vineyard. So I just saying, it'd be a shame if you guys missed this. You know, I don't, if the Lord would tell me, why wouldn't he tell you guys? That's all I'm saying. And I got to get off the soapbox.
Well, I also know Marisa's talked about those terms being a title and not just one person. So
yeah,
that kind of goes along with that too. That it could be more than one person.
Right. More than one.
Yes. Well, and John Pratt talked about how there was three and named three different prophets of the last, say, of this dispensation. And I think that got it from Denver as having said that. And so he listed Denver, Mauricio, and this one from India.
Yeah, there really are a lot of prophets out there. Just like the time of Lehi, a whole bunch of prophets rose up. There wasn't just one. And I mean, on YouTube, it's gloom and doom. If you, you know, listen around to different people talking, you go, oh my gosh, it doesn't, it sounds like, anyway, yeah, put on your seatbelt.
Yeah, there's a lot of prophets out there. There just don't happen to be 15 of them in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Let's see. Should we continue on at verse 60?
Sure.
Let's see. I'm going left from right on my screen. And Russell, would you mind reading that?
I will. Okay. It will come after righteousness and truth sweep the earth, before the great and terrifying day of the Lord, when at last I descend upon my people in the last days, just as I came down among you in a temple erected to my name in the land that I will gather my elect. In the place that I will prepare beforehand, a holy city, so that my people will gird their loins and yearn for the time of my coming. For there will be my tabernacle be, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. So is he saying that he's going to come again like he came to Enoch City? Is that what he's saying?
I think he's talking about the coming in glory. Right. That's how I interpreted.
But he says he's coming in glory like he did before.
Well, when he came to the Nephites, it was pretty glorious.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I went.
Okay.
But also, he does come down like he came in the meridian of time. He comes down as a man among us. This is like the coolest doctrine. And when it gets revealed to you, your jaw's just gonna drop. And it makes so many appearances as a cloaked, unglorified God in our day. And this is happening now. But the spirit, like in the White Horse prophecy, only those who have the spirit will know he's come. I don't know if you've read that lately, but anyway, I'll let you take back over, Michael.
Well, I was just going to read the references below, the one in 3rd Nephi and the other in DNC 42. I've got those, unless Russell, do you, if you have those, you could read them.
I don't have them yet. Go ahead.
Okay, 3rd Nephi 21, verse 24. This is when the Savior came among the Nephites, and he's speaking about the latter day in the New Jerusalem. He says, "Then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in their midst."
Yeah, there you go. All three of them come down, the offices. I mean, if you're looking at the first presidency of heaven, they all come down and work. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So at least that's my view. And I'm talking more of the office. I know me and Russell talked about this a little before. But anyway, I see it as they will all be here. And obviously the Holy Ghost doesn't want to stay without a body. I mean, he wants a body. Anyway, just they all come down. And if you live 15 more years, I think you can meet him. So.
Very cool. In the previous verse 23, it says, speaking of the Latter-day Saint Gentile Church, they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. So I think that kind of has reference to the verse I read about the kings and queens from the Nemenha record, right? They're a descendant of Lehi, which is of the house of Jacob, and they will work together. Those that come out from the, I guess, all the restoration branches will come together and help the descendants of Lehi and the house of Jacob build up that New Jerusalem.
And I have to say, I'd rather be a king than a builder. Not that I'm knocking building, but honestly, the Lamanites build all the stuff now. Look who's in the building trades. And so they have all the skills. And so, between the two of us, meaning the very few of the church that rise up to a level of proxy saviors, that if you can't rise up to that level, then you're just fooling yourself. You're just fooling yourself that you're a saint and you're going to go to the New Jerusalem with the builders. So anyway, that's how important it is.
Yeah. In section 42, the other reference, this is back in Joseph Smith's day, that they were putting funds into a storehouse to administer to the poor and the needy. And also in verse 35, it says those funds were to be used for the purpose of purchasing lands for the public benefit of the church and building houses of worship and building up the New Jerusalem, which is hereafter to be revealed, that my covenant people may be gathered in one in that day when I shall come to my temple. And this I do for the salvation of my people. So again, there's the reference to building up the New Jerusalem. I think in Joseph Smith's day, it was supposed to be in Jackson County, Missouri. Now, whether that's still the place or yet to be revealed, I don't know. I think Independence, Missouri is so full of people that I don't know where we would build it if we were to start, unless it's like out on the outskirts of town somewhere, you know.
Nuclear bombs will take care of that.
That's right. Swept clean. Is the way Heber C. Kimball said.
If you look at where our Minutemen, where our main defense missiles are, Missouri, right in that, I think it goes into Kansas too. But anyway, guaranteed, Putin will send missiles there. And, you know, so you're either, I know the restoration had a vision that you're either covered in this bubble, which is a very small amount of people there in Missouri. If you're not those guys, you'll all be smoke. You know, they're just you know, and whether Brigham Young was right about just one dog running around or whatever, or a stray cat, I don't know. But I see that as a, like, I have one in the, one of, I have a friend who had met the Lord, and his mission will be to remove the radiation in Missouri and around where after, you know, after the war. And, you know, it, incidentally, I guess this is a side note, but I found it interesting that last week Putin was announcing to his commanders about his new satellites he has up there. They're nuclear powered, huge nuclear power, not just a little thing to get 50 watt, you know, 500 watts, but a huge nuclear power to run energy like radars to knock out satellites. So, and he says it's intact, it's ready to go. I mean, this guy, the Lord, according to Isaiah, Isaiah tells Putin and China how to destroy us. The Lord actually does that because he's ready to do a do-over. And so anyway, it's Yahoo. Thank you for letting us come at this time.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to try and think of how it will all play out. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I guess we'll see.
Well, and I don't know if you're familiar with, and I could, I mentioned this here, and that is that if you're familiar with Doug Mendenhall and the lady he is associated with, getting there, Catherine, and the vision she saw of Salt Lake, where there was a explosion up the north end of Salt Lake that wiped out the top floors of the Salt Lake Temple and killed thousands of people as well.
Yeah, in Hillfield, it was set off. So intentionally. So, right.
You mean Hill Air Force Base?
Yeah, right by you. Well, kind of.
Yeah, it's just like, sure,
let's hope the wind is going the wrong way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if that happens, then I'm probably not going to be here. But anyway, Lisa, do you want to continue on in verse, let's see, verse 61?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
All right. And the Lord said to Enoch, then you will come with all your city and find them there, for your Zion will descend from heaven in this place and will join you, the 144,000 high priests, whom I, the Lord, have ordained according to my holy order, even before the foundation of the world. Priests, these whom God ordained according to the order of his Son and appointed them to be born on earth for the purpose of teaching the covenant people to wait for the promised descendant, being these called and ordained to the high priesthood from the foundation of the world, according to the will of God, because of the faith they exercised in the plan of redemption from the beginning, when all spirits were in the same position in the spiritual world before coming to the world. However, these were separated by unconditionally exercising faith in the plan of atonement proposed by the only begotten Son of the Father. Being therefore in this way from the days of Adam until the end of all times, these are those who are born high priests of the holy order of the Son of God in the world of humanity and are ordained by angels to this office, by which they can name other men to the high priesthood of the holy order of the only begotten Son of the Father, to teach and administer the commandments of God to the children of men.
There's a lot there, but one thing that pops out to me is that these men already have the authority. So if they never ever heard of Mauricio, they could still do their job. They don't need Mauricio to say, go forth. They're already ordained. They've already been given the power. I think most people are, I think they're, I think we're awakening to our missions and who we are. But I just wanted to say they don't need that connection to Mauricio at all, because it's kind of up at a higher level. And I'll pass.
Yeah, the I don't know if you're familiar with the liaison.org site and those people associated with that. They testify that they are part of that Church of the Firstborn in DNC 7711, which is one of the footnotes here. Let me read that footnote. Whatever we understand by sealing the 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel, 12,000 of every tribe. Answer, we are to understand that those who are sealed are high priests ordained under the holy order of God to administer the everlasting gospel, for they are they who are ordained out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people by the angels to whom is given power over the nations of the earth to bring as many as will come to the Church of the Firstborn. And those meetings of the Church of the Firstborn are interesting because they're in the spirit. The one individual I talked to talked about how St. John and another person came to teach them how to participate in that spiritual meeting.
I wonder if it's upon the way, as the Namenha would say. They go in the spirit.
Yeah, probably so.
To this holy place, and they're able to commune with angels.
Well, I want to have that.
Well, what's that doing?
Yeah, I say I would love to do that. It's like, yeah. Why don't we all do that? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yep.
Anyway, it's like,
well, I guess we're welcome to. We can,
yeah,
change our lives and uplift ourselves, and or I don't know, uplift ourselves, but humble ourselves to be uplifted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a matter of diligently seeking the Lord's face, right? I mean, he bids us to come unto him. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean just read the scriptures and pray? Or does that mean something more where he wants us to come to him and he will come to us and take up his abode with us, right? That's the second comforter. That's the calling and election. That's the Holy Spirit of promise sealing you. I don't know. I never thought that I could have the personal visitation of the Lord to me personally in my lifetime. But I think recently my thoughts on that have changed. I think it is possible. It's just a matter of how badly do I want it, and how am I willing to do what it takes to get there. Right.
Yeah, I believe so.
Abram was teaching me a cool doctrine that when Isaiah first saw the Lord came to him. And then later in the ascension of Isaiah, he went to the Lord. So you kind of go in steps. So, you know, if you get to know the Lord here, and then as you progress, then you get to go up to heaven like he did in the ascension. And, you know, like Enoch did, a lot of these prophets were studying did that. Not only did they see the Lord here, but then they went to heaven. And it's kind of a progression as we go. Now I'll pass.
I might mention that the one individual I was talking about taught me a meditation technique to allow you to go before the Lord.
Yeah, I know at least with the Namenha, the descendants of the Namenha today, Philip Landis and his sons, they have a method, or they teach a method. They call it their Waywalker ministry. And it's 10 courses, I think. And they help you get yourself into a meditative state where you can walk upon the way. You're basically creating a sacred space in your mind. It's, you know, the space between your two temples is your own holy temple. It's the holiest place on earth, right? Right between these two temples. It's your own personal sacred space. And they teach some techniques as well, to get yourself in that state of mind, because you don't take your physical body upon the way. Your body stays here, but your spirit can go upon the way in that meditative state. So anyway, I just think it's interesting. There's many ways to get there. I have the footnote in Alma chapter 13, verse 6. This is just talking about the being called. And thus being called by this holy calling and ordained unto the high priesthood of the Holy Order of God to teach his commandments unto the children of men that they may also enter into his rest.
Mine says that they also might.
You're probably right. Did I say that wrong? That they said, also might enter into his rest.
Yeah, you said me also. I thought, you've got a different translation of the Book of Mormon than I do.
Well, speaking of that, I just got this last week. I ordered a copy of the RCE edition of the Book of Mormon, the Restored Covenant edition. I don't know if you've heard of that, published by the Church of Christ. I got it out of Missouri. I'm excited to read that. That to them is technically what Skousen did for us, where he went back to the original manuscripts and he tried to restore the original text of the Book of Mormon. I forget what his translation is called. Do you know it, Russell?
No, but I know that the people with Denver also came out with a version, which I don't think changes a lot, but it does change a few things, and I've got that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to get the different versions. Yeah, I thought about ordering. I know on Denver's website, apparently they don't have the leather bound available anymore. You have to. I think when you order it, they create it, but it's just kind of a hard copy or a hard bound copy. So anyway, I might get one of those as well. I like collecting all these different editions of the Book of Mormon from the different branches, right?
Yeah.
We all have that foundational scripture, and you know the Book of Mormon doesn't belong to a corporate entity. The Book of Mormon is for all of us. It's for all the world.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Verse 62. Dewey, do you want to continue on?
Yeah. 62, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Therefore, those who are born high priests among men on earth are seers, chosen and ordained by God in the spirit world, and are sent when the gospel and its doctrines change, and it's necessary to restore the commandments of God and of his church again between the literal descendants of the promise in order to restore the keys of his presidency to their proper place in God's plan in accordance with the eternal course. So let's do this over and over and over, because Zion doesn't last. What, you know, even the Zion in 1,000 years will have another war and another. I mean, it seems like the eternal round is constantly going. Anyway, that's what popped in my head.
Yeah, I've got the reference. I was just there in Alma. This is Alma, same chapter 13 in verse 1. Alma says, again, my brethren, I would cite your minds forward to the time when the Lord God gave these commandments unto his children. And I would that ye should remember that the Lord God ordained priests after his holy order, which was after the order of his son, to teach these things unto the people. And then for the second reference, the eternal course, which in our scriptures, it's known as the eternal round. Section 3 says, the works and designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated, neither can they come to naught. For God doth not walk in crooked paths, neither doth he turn to the right hand nor to the left, neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, his paths are straight, and his course is one eternal round. Remember that it is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the work of men. I think that's an interesting dichotomy where he says his paths are straight, but yet it's one eternal round. I guess if you're walking on the just like walking on the curvature of the earth, if you walk straight, you could walk all the way around the earth and go all the way around, and you're still walking in a straight path, but yet you just circle back.
Yeah.
You just have to walk on that line. This the phrase, therefore his paths are straight, or what John would say as one, a voice in the wilderness, you know, make straight the paths of the Lord. In the Nemenha record, that phrase is stated over and over again. And there's a few footnotes that call to our attention that it was their way of saying, it's an interesting phrase that means to diligently seek to walk upon the way. So when John is telling people to make the Lord's path straight, he's saying, essentially, seek the face of the Lord and go upon the way, speak with the tongue of angels, you know, have the gifts of the Spirit, and you will, the Lord will come to you and he will take up his abode with you, right? He's essentially saying you'll get your second comforter. That's what that means. So I just thought that was interesting. Do we have any other comments on verse 62? I know in that video, and I still haven't gotten an answer back from Mauricio, but he did talk about that the saints of that first invitation, those that were, you know, that gathered around Joseph Smith in his day, are kind of stuck in an eternal course. And I'm not quite sure what he means. I think he's saying that, you know, those saints have continually come back, you know, they've been reincarnated into the church, into one of the branches of the restoration, until eventually they will do the things that the Lord asked them to do in that first generation. But I don't know that for sure. I'm still seeking clarification. Do any of you know? I know Mauricio has talked a lot about the eternal round, the eternal course. Is that what he's referring to? Because I think there were only 20,000 saints at most that had gathered, you know, in the time of Joseph Smith. With those, is it those 20,000 saints? Are they continually coming back and back and until they get it right? I don't know what he means by that.
why not? Because it's like, if you could keep coming back and keep perfecting yourself, why not? I was like, sign me up for my next lesson, you know? So why not come back as often as you can, you know? Anyway, it just seems like what better way to get ready than to be here over and over and over and over, you know, as you, anyway, that's kind of how I see it.
All right.
Okay, let's see, verse 63. Do we, have you read yet?
I can read. 63.
And you just read 62.
Yeah. Well,
either way,
whatever you want.
Let me circle back. I'll do 63. How are we looking at time? Oh, we're getting close to 8 o'clock. Maybe we finish this 63 and 64.
Okay.
I'll hurry and read this 63. And this is the decree established even before the foundation of the world. Every time the gospel goes into apostasy and the keys of the kingdom are spread and lost, behold, God calls a seer. And no man can be the seer unless he be ordained by God through angels and become the greatest of all. For there can be no greater called among the children of men, because the keys again are brought to earth for the purpose of being redistributed to those who will be ordained by the hands to the office of high priests, so to help in matters pertaining to the administration of the Church of God, distributing the corresponding keys to all those who hold office of oversight between the covenant people in their respective functions, and who shall be called, so that all things pertaining to the kingdom of God occur as organized. So that's interesting where he makes reference, you know, to every time that the gospel goes into apostasy, God has to call a new seer. And we see that in the days of Joseph Smith, right? There was such a drought, a dearth of, you know, spiritual blessings in the land that when he called that seer, the people kind of rallied around it. There is a verse, and maybe it's in the footnote here, where it talks about, you know, a seer, prophet, seer, revelator, but the seer is greatest of all. Do you remember that? Is that in Mosiah? I guess we could read the footnotes and see if that's what it's referring to.
Yeah, it's in verse 15 of Mosiah 8 that it says that.
Do you want to read that?
Yeah, it's, you know, the footnote is 13 and 15 through 16. I'm not sure why they left out 14, but I'll read them. Now, Ammon said unto him, I can assuredly tell thee, O king, of a man that can translate the records, for he has wherewith that he can look and translate all the records that are of ancient date, and it is a gift from God. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them except he be commanded, lest he should look for that he ought not, and he should perish. And whosoever is commanded to look at them, the same is called seer. And behold, the king or the people who are in the land of Zarahemla is the man that is commanded to do these things. And who has this high gift from God? And the king said that a seer is greater than a prophet. And Ammon said that a seer is a revelator and a prophet also, and a gift which is greater can no man have except he should possess the power of God, which no man can. Yet a man may have great power given him from God.
Yeah. Well, in verse 17, it says that a seer can know things which are past and which are to come, right? So you're kind of standing in your point in eternity, and you can look back and you can look forward and reveal that to the children of men. So that I can see why a seer would be kind of elevated to even above that of a prophet, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I had the DNC 50 verse 26. Let me jump over to that real quick. 50:26. He that is ordained of God and sent forth, the same is appointed to be the greatest. Notwithstanding, he is the least and the servant of all. So, right, it's talking about him becoming the greatest of all, and no greater calling among the children of men than a seer. But even though you're the greatest of all, you shouldn't be proud of it, right? You're the servant of all. Just because you're set at the highest, you are the lowest in the kingdom.
Easier said than done, right? I say that's easier said than done.
Right. We've learned by sad experience that it's the disposition of almost all men that as soon as they get a little authority, or so they suppose, they immediately begin to exercise unrighteousness over this children of men. It's you see it time and time again. And perhaps that's what causes apostasy.
I think this is a reason why the Lord, when you're advancing, and how can you be tested? Well, I'm going to make you a king and queen over your little city in Zion. And guess what? That's another way to be tested. What's it like to have all power in your little city? And yet, I know I will be doing that. And I would like to think that some of you might be doing that. Otherwise, you miss the whole message of Isaiah, and I guess you'll come back. We'll see you again in the next round. Anyway.
Well, it reminds me of that, of the cover plate of the record of Mahanaim Moriah-Enkemer, right? That's where it basically shows the city of Zion coming down, and then there's a dome, right, with a figure standing inside the dome, which is a Christ, and he's reading from a book, and he's directing the city of Zion to come down, and you've got those prophets that are camped outside of, in tents outside of the city, and they will be protected by the prophets, and those who are under the dome will also have their protection. It's very interesting. In fact, I think I have those who were there and witnessed that plate in Mauricio's presence, they went back and they wrote what he said was the interpretation. And I have that written down somewhere. I think I don't know if I've shared it with you guys or if you've seen that before, but it's a very interesting interpretation with that cover plate. I think it was Moroni that etched it from the backside of the plate, because it's, you know, if you were to feel it, it's pushed up. So it had to have been etched from behind, but you can't see the behind of the plate because that's part of the sealed, the portion that remains sealed.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, share that with us if you can.
I'll see if we can find that and share the link. Just very interesting. Anyway, it's all connected. It's all tied together.
Yep.
Russell, do you want to finish up in verse 64, I guess, and then we can call it?
Okay. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the chosen seed shall be waiting for you, my son Enoch, in the New Jerusalem. And with him, the 144,000 high priests of the Holy Order of the Son of God, and the people who receive them in their midst, and we will embrace, and I will dwell there among the sons of men, fellow citizens of Zion. And for the space of 1,000 years, the earth shall rest under the rule of my kingdom. And we have Revelation, ending 29.
Let's see, I can get the DNC reference.
Yeah, I'll pull up the Revelation. Verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the mount of Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
And DNC 29:11, for I will reveal myself from heaven with power and great glory, with all the host thereof, and dwell in righteousness with men on earth 1,000 years, and the wicked shall not stand. So he will come down. He will be in our presence in Zion.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.